What does the future hold for the Texas Rangers? On today's show, I'm looking at what the 2024 Rangers will look like, a potentially huge free agent splash, and which prospects will be making their names in the Rangers lineup every day at that point. All that and more on this episode of Locked On Rangers. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are locked onto the Texas Rangers. I'm Bryce Patrick, a cripplingly addicted Texas Rangers fan since 2010, the founder and host for all four seasons of this Locked On Rangers podcast. Thank y'all so much for making Locked On Rangers your first listen every single day. If you're not already, you can follow me on Twitter at Bryce Patrick. You can follow the show at Locked On Rangers and subscribe on YouTube, where the best way you can help grow the show is to comment any single thing below. On today's show, I'm looking ahead, not this most recent season, but a season ahead at what the Rangers will look like in 2020. There are a few interesting names on the free agent market. It won't be quite as interesting a December in 2023 as it was in 2022, but I still think the Rangers will be huge active buyers on that market, and there is one guy at the top of that list and a few others down below. Let's kind of look at what is there on the free agent market. We know kind of who the Rangers prospects are that are going to be up, so we'll get into that a little bit later, what the lineup will look like. But at the top of the market, you have Max Scherzer, who has got a player option after this season with the Mets. He will be 40 years old. There is also Miguel Cabrera on the market. Manny Machado has an opt-out. He will be 32 next year, and that could be a really, really interesting player. He might not end up opting out of his deal, but if he does, then he will probably be the best position player on the market. He's got several more years after that. He's got signed through 2028 if he decides to not opt out, making $30 million every single year. But if he thinks he can make more as going into his age 31 season, it'll be, he's going to be 30 this year in 2023, which kind of blows my freaking mind. It feels like Manny Machado has been around forever and signed that deal forever ago, but it was just 2019 that he signed with San Diego. And that's what they have listed. I don't feel like that's the case. I feel like it's been less time that he's been in San Diego than 2019, but he signed a 10-year, $300 million deal with the Padres, and he could be a very, very intriguing option. Now, the Rangers have a long-term option, what they think, as Josh Jung at third base, and as much as I like Josh Jung, I think there's no way his ceiling is what Manny Machado is, which is one of the best, if not the best, defensive third baseman in all of baseball, and one of the best, if not the best, offensive third baseman in all baseball. So just one of the best players in baseball. Top five, top 10 player this year. He was absolutely phenomenal and carried the Padres despite them having a whole lot of chaos. There are a few other guys that are really interesting on the market. You know, Marcus Stroman, Javier Baez, both of those guys have player options. I don't anticipate Baez opting out. Josh Donaldson is another really interesting option. Hasn't had that great of success offensively since he has left Oakland, but still one of the premier defensive third basemen in the game and still provides enough offensive firepower. He is going to be around 30 that year, so still in his prime and could have quite a few really great years defensively left. And we'll see what he looks like offensively this year, and I think that will determine a lot of his payday. Yu Darvish could be a candidate. Clayton Kershaw, also always going to be linked to the Rangers, and I will always have some hope that when Clayton Kershaw finally decides it's going to be his last ride, he will sign a one-year deal in Texas. I don't know how likely that is. If he hasn't done it by now, he probably won't. Martin Perez is going to be an unrestricted free agent. Lance Lynn has a team option for $18 million, so there could be a reunion there. Maybe Michael Conforto has a great season and opts out of his one-year deal, but I know you're all screaming at me, Bryce, you're forgetting the most important free agent in that class. Yeah, you're right. It's Shohei Ohtani. He is going to be 30 years old when the next season starts. Actually, 29, going into his age 29 season. I feel like these ages are just a little bit off on spot track that I'm looking at these on. But yeah, he's going to be one of the biggest free agents in baseball history. And I think the Rangers are absolutely going to be all in on him. I mean, I did a whole episode a couple weeks ago. Maybe it was 3 weeks ago. I don't know what his time. It was at some point in 2022 about the Rangers potentially getting Shohei Ohtani, why they could do it, why they should do it, and why it why he would even consider Texas. So if you want more information on that, go check out that episode because it is a really, really great one. But for their one free agent coup, there's also one more guy that I looked at and I wasn't quite sure on, and it is Lucas Giolito, who didn't have a great season with Chicago, a former top prospect, just some of the nastiest stuff, a one-time All-Star, had some really, really great seasons with the White Sox, had a three-year stretch where he finished with Cy Young votes in all of those seasons from 2019 to 2021, age 24 to 26 season. In 2023, he's going to be 28 years old, and so he'll be heading into its age 29 season in 2024, and the White Sox have shown a propensity to be super-duper cheap, and even if he has a really, really great year, I don't see them re-signing Lucas Giolito. They're just not that kind of team. So it's definitely someone that I am keeping an eye on and has been relatively durable. And if the Rangers don't end up going with Shohei Ohtani, I think that Lucas Giolito is going to be a hard pivot for the Rangers. They're going to be looking for another guy who is their number two, another like top end starter. And I think Giolito definitely has the potential and has showed it quite a bit for three out of the last four seasons. And I think he'll probably show it again a little bit in 2023. But for my big bombshell, before I even get into what this looks like, I'm predicting two major free agents to the Texas Rangers, and we'll get into them and how they completely change everything right now. Starting with the lineup, we're going to go with hitting leadoff, Shohei Ohtani. Yeah, that's right. I think the Rangers, I mean, it's possible the Rangers don't get him. It's actually likely. It's probably very likely that the Rangers don't get him. But in this fun made-up scenario on my own podcast where I make up the rules as we go, it's more fun to talk about Shohei Ohtani being a Texas Ranger than it is not. I'd have him hitting leadoff and DHing, who will be 29 that year. Then hitting second, you have Marcus Semien, who's going to be 33. Because the rest of this roster, that's kind of the point of this episode, not to spoil it early on. But the Rangers roster is pretty well set. The future is pretty certain in terms of who's going to be on this team for the long term. You look at in the two hole hitting, playing second, Marcus Semien, he'll be 33 that year. Seager hitting third, he's gonna be 30. Nathaniel Lowe batting cleanup at first, he'll be 28. Josh Jung, then you have Adolis Garcia, Evan Carter in center field, who will be 21 years old for most of that season, which is kind of nuts. He's going to be 20 for most of this year. Well, he'll start in AA, and he might end up seeing the big leagues by the end of the year. Then in left field, I'm thinking Ezekiel Duran will be playing there at 25 years old. Catcher, Jonah Heim will be 29, still have plenty of years of control. That is what I'm thinking this lineup will look like in 2024. And man, that is one of, if not the deepest lineup in all of baseball, and maybe even the best lineup in all of baseball in 2024, if this is what it looks like. Coming up, we're going to look at some potential pitching free agent that the Rangers could get, which young prospects will be making their debuts in the rotation and figuring to be a big, big part of Texas's starting pitching staff that year. But first, this episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, news, stats, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from pro football to college, which is just wrapped up. There's college basketball as well, NBA, NHL. They've got it all at BetOnline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can even find those at BetOnline as well. We are the fastest and easiest way to get all of your sports betting info. I think they already have some future lines on next year's college football playoff. You can go check those out. The season just ended. I guess a reluctant congratulations to Georgia if you wanting to bet on the Dallas Cowboys in the NFL playoffs, or you know, pick them to go to the Super Bowl. You can definitely do that there. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more, because BetOnline, it's where the game starts. Now, this lineup would be absolutely incredible. You have a lot of mix of youth and guys really right in their prime. I mean, I think Semien is going to age very, very well. Seager will be right in his prime at 30, Lowe at 28, Ohtani at 29, Josh Jung at 26. Like, these guys are going to be fantastic. I mean, you have Adolis Garcia hitting sixth. Maybe Evan Carter would end up pushing him out, but I mean, if the guy hitting in your six hole is a corner outfielder who's been a 3-4 win player for the last 2 years, who's going to be 31 years old, that's a really, really good lineup. And then you have these young prospects in hitting 7th and 8th in Carter and Duran. Maybe you might flip-flop those two because Carter will probably be a rookie or have less big league experience than Duran. But still. And then you have Jonah Heim hitting 9th as your catcher, as a 3-4 win catcher. And we'll see what his offense looks like if he is more of the second half Jonah Heim or the first half Jonah Heim next year, when he'll have probably still a decent workload. There will be no Mitch Garver to spell him. It will be the other free agent hitting option that I'm adding here is less sexy. So let's look at the bench. Josh Smith will be a platoon guy, I think, at that point. And the backup catcher, Austin Hedges. Yeah, I'm sorry. I gave you Shohei Ohtani. So there's no other sexy free agent hitters that are being added here. Still a lot of youth to kind of balance out that payroll. And again, right now, the Rangers payroll for 2024 is sitting at $150 million. So there is definitely room to add someone at the very top end of the market, like a Shohei Ohtani. We'll see if they actually can end up doing it and outspending the Mets, who just lost out on Carlos Correa, who were, oh no, we're going to spend every single penny in the entire world. Ooh, we're not sure about your ankle, Carlos Correa. So we're going to, you know, drag our feet and let you go back to Minnesota. Like, maybe Steve Cohen isn't spending all the money like he thought he was. Anyway, the rest of the bench looks like this, with Mark Mathias and Leily Taveras as the other options there. It's a really, really deep bench with a lot of versatility. Mathias can play so many different positions. I mean, having Leily Taveras off the bench as one of the best defensive center fielders, or just, you know, plug in there, just drop him in there. I mean, it'd be absolutely incredible. I mean, already that outfield defense of Evan Carter in center field, Adolis Garcia in right, and Ezekiel Duran in left, I think would be really good. But then you, in certain circumstances, when you drop in Leily Taveras, that's absolutely fantastic. Mathias and Smith playing a bunch of different positions, and just having a solid veteran in Austin Hedges, who's great defensively. You don't really need your backup catcher to hit a whole lot, and you need him to be able to spell your starter and catch very well and provide a lot of defensive value and know the staff. And that's what Austin Hedges does, and I think that would be a great addition next year. Now, let's look at the starting rotation. Obviously, still leading this rotation at this point will be Jacob DeGrom. Maybe Shohei Ohtani outperforms him. Maybe there's a little more health from Shohei Ohtani than DeGrom, but still, 1-2 is DeGrom, who will be 36 that year, and Shohei Ohtani. Then at your number 3, you have Nathan Eovaldi. Number 4, John Gray. And in their number 5 spot in the rotation, I got sentimental, and if we're going ahead and just being ridiculous with this, or, I mean, realistic, totally realistic, totally, not just realistic, but 100% going to happen, I'm just going to add Clayton Kershaw on a victory lap tour. We'll see how much he's got left. He might end up retiring after this year, and he might end up coming back and signing another one-year deal with the Dodgers and then retiring with them. So, but still, there's always a little piece of my heart that says, why not Clayton Kershaw? And at that point, the Rangers rotation needed a lefty. Maybe it would end up being Martin Perez, who has a great season this year and then signs a multi-year deal with Texas. Or maybe he has a great year this year and then signs a multi-year deal elsewhere with someone who is more willing to give him more money. And if that's the case, then hat tip to Martin Perez. Thank you for 2 great seasons and several okay ones and a couple bad ones early on in your career with Texas. But then as your backup depth rotation, because there will probably be some injuries to these guys. I mean, literally all 5 of these guys are, you can't count on, I don't think you can 100% bank on any of them to for sure give you 150 innings. But your number 6 guy that's coming in there is Owen White and Jack Leiter. Those are your, you know, depth guys if somebody gets hurt. And that way it gives these guys some time to grow into themselves, not say, hey, yeah, Jack Leiter, we started you off in AA in 2022 when you hadn't played any minor league ball, and you better get to the freaking big leagues in 2023 and then, you know, dominate in 2024. No, it gives these guys time. Maybe they end up exceeding those expectations. Maybe these guys Owen White gets healthy and Jack Leiter figures out how to command things glove side, and maybe he's in the big leagues by 2023. And maybe the Rangers don't go for Kershaw, or they're still probably going to go for Ohtani, even no matter what happens with Jack Leiter. But still, it gives those guys time to kind of grow into themselves, to, if they're, you know, thrust into it, they'll be ready for it. And it's not, okay, you got to come in and, you know, be the number two on this staff, like, by the time you're 26. Like, that's a lot of pressure on those guys. And maybe they are that. Maybe they do end up doing that. But I think this takes the pressure off of them. And I think that is a much healthier way to approach your top prospects. And this is not even factoring Kumar Rocker. We'll see what happens with him. He is the biggest question mark. Don't even think about Brock Porter. He's not going to be in the big leagues in 2024 at any point. Unless everything goes like perfectly for him the next 2 years, then maybe at some point he sees the big leagues in 2024, like at the end. But I don't see a scenario like that. Maybe it happens, but like he's a high school kid. He hasn't pitched professionally at all so far. So I think holding off on that is definitely best. MLB Pipeline has his ETA to the big leagues at 2025. So, yeah, which honestly is the same time as Kumar Rocker, which is kind of confusing, but also maybe makes sense. I don't know. But yeah, that is not even factoring in Cole Winn. We'll see whatever happens with him. But still, I feel like that is one of the best rotations in all of baseball. Definitely, I think the top two is elite. And then maybe at that point, this is definitely already looking like an extremely strong team for contention. Coming up, we're going to look at the bullpen and some guys who I think would make this bullpen absolutely electric, fantastic, and one of the better ones in all of baseball. But first, this episode is brought to you by Built Bar. You're looking for a delicious treat, but you don't want all the fat and calories? Then you have got to try a Built Bar. We just got through the holidays, and I know my goal is to eat a little bit healthier this year. And if you're like me and you want to eat healthier, but you don't want to compromise on taste, then man, I have got just the thing for you. You have got to try Built. With Built, healthy is actually tasty. Seriously, they are so delicious, you won't think they're good for you. They're perfect for your New Year's resolution. Well, you know what makes them so good is they are covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. But yeah, they are still completely healthy for you. They've got all kinds of different flavors like churro, peanut butter, brownie, coconut, almond. But you don't need to wait around for a box anymore or go to built.com. I mean, you can if you want to, but you can pick them up at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's right. Head to Walmart today or walk to the pharmacy section. Find yourself a box of Built Bars. You can find a 4-pack of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. If you're in Sam's Club, grab a 13-bar box with our favorite hit brownie batter and churro. You can thank me later. Go get some Built Bars. Now, let's look at what this bullpen might look like. Jose Leclerc will still be under contract at that point. The only Rangers reliever who has a contract is a club option for $6.25 million that year. Also, in all of my starting pitcher recommendations and things like that, Andrew Heaney does have a lot of opt-outs in his deal. It's very complicated. If he has a bad season, then he could end up being, you could just go ahead and trade him out for Clayton Kershaw, which maybe at that point will be a wash, but still, for my own heart, I want to see Clayton Kershaw in a Texas Rangers uniform, even if it's just for like 50 to 75 innings. We'll see what he does at that point. But assuming that, let's say in this scenario, Heaney has a fantastic year, opts out, and gets a whole lot of money somewhere else, the Rangers are like, yeah, good on you, happy for you, go thrive somewhere else. But yeah, there is still a player option for $13 million for 2024, where he will be, I believe, 35 years old, if my math is correct. But anyway, the rest of their bullpen looks like this. Jonathan Hernandez, Brock Burke. I think Glenn Otto at this point will be a multi-inning reliever, throwing absolute gas with a just disgusting slider that will be even nastier out of the bullpen. Then you also have Taylor Hearn, and I think that's where the guys who are in the bullpen now, I think that's where that kind of ends. There are some guys who I think like maybe there'll still be a part of this bullpen. Maybe Brett Martin will be in there. Maybe John King will have figured out what he is by then. I don't know. Maybe we'll see some of Spencer Howard as a nasty multi-inning relief guy. I think I'm more willing to believe that Glenn Otto can do that and be effective in that than Spencer Howard, but it's entirely possible that he is in this role as well. But the other guys, I think, that will be in the pen by then, Ricky Venasco, who I think it's just a matter of time before he is a reliever. And I think once he is, that stuff is going to be really stinking nasty. And if he can figure out how to stop walking like eight guys or five guys per nine innings, then he is going to be has just absolutely nasty stuff in the bullpen. And I think the last bullpen spot will be occupied by Zach Kent, a righty who will probably go multiple innings, and his stuff will tick up very, very well. I think he would play very well as kind of a new age reliever, a guy who can get you through the order one time, who could be kind of a spot starter, not technically a long reliever, but like a guy who could be in long relief, but could also come in higher leverage situations and give you one or two innings if you need it pretty badly. And I think that that is a vast upgrade from the pen that the Rangers had this year, which I thought got a little too much hate, but still deserves some of the hate that it got. I think that's a bullpen with just some premium velocity, premium stuff, and that is something that makes a great bullpen. And this is just, you look overall, like, this is just, if that's the team, well, then just sign me up for competing in the AL West, for maybe winning the AL West, because the year after that, I think that is 2025 is maybe when the Rangers start to see some cracks in the Astros dynasty. Maybe that's when things start to fall apart just a little bit, because after the 2025 season, the Astros could lose two key starters. Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman are both going to be free agents after the 2025 season. Now, unfortunately, the Astros have built a very, very sustainable model for winning. The Mariners are a very young team, and they have a lot of talent, and they are going to be good for quite a while, even without them spending a whole bunch of money this offseason. Like, both of those teams are going to be really good for a long time, and it's going to take something crazy, another third crazy offseason, like signing a Shohei Ohtani, for them to, you know, go ahead and compete and maybe even be a favorite. If the Rangers got Ohtani and added that to what they've got right now, and if this is what it looks like in 2024, then the Rangers might end up being, you know, co-favorites, or maybe they should be favorites just outright in the AL West if this is their team. But it's a huge ask. Obviously, Ohtani is going to be coveted extremely highly by literally everybody. The Dodgers are just taking a year off from free agency. They're just not spending on basically anybody. Should have been in the market for Trey Turner or one of the elite starting pitchers or what have you, but they're like, nah, we're fine. We're going to kind of chill this year, and they're probably still going to end up winning like 100 games because it's the freaking Dodgers. I mean, all they did was like sign Noah Syndergaard and I feel like one other player that I can't remember who it was, but who's been mediocre for their whole career and will end up being amazing because it's the freaking Dodgers, and that's just what they freaking do, and it's going to be really annoying. And the Mets theoretically have all the money in the world, and they have the GM who signed Shohei Ohtani and convinced him to come to the Angels in the first place. And then, obviously, you'll have the Giants and the Padres, who will both be on it, and maybe the Mariners as well, who have money to spend. They could point to the legacy of a certain Japanese player in Ichiro and how beloved he was there and how he thrived there. Well, thrived as in people liking him, not as in necessarily winning. And so a lot of that is going to come down to which of those teams can win the most, can show that they have the most sustainable model for winning. It'll probably end up being the Dodgers, and it's going to be a real bummer, and that's going to suck. But I think the Rangers are definitely going to be right in there, and Chris Young's ability as a salesman is the hugest point in all of that. And I think if the Rangers, I think Kershaw's probably not coming, but if the Rangers land Ohtani, then I think Kershaw much more seriously considers coming back to Texas. I think it's always a possibility in his mind. But if the Rangers go ahead and land Ohtani and he's like, this is going to be my last year, I've already won a ring with the Dodgers, I've already won so many awards with the Dodgers, why not give it one last ride, go hang out with Ohtani in Arlington and DeGrom and Corey Seager and just go kick some butt there and pitch for freaking Bruce Bochy and maybe win a ring for my hometown team, their first ring ever probably, unless the Rangers go and win it this year, which, again, I don't think is super likely. But anyway, I think that is what the best case scenario for this team looks like. I think a more realistic scenario, probably not getting Ohtani, probably getting someone like Lucas Giolito. I don't think they'll be in the market for Max Scherzer, and I don't think that they're going to go and get Manny Machado, but crazy things have been done, and even if the Rangers don't get some mega huge top-end free agent next offseason, because they've done that, they've done the they have been perfect the last two off seasons. Absolutely perfect. You could not have scripted a better off season for the last two off seasons. I mean, like me personally, I would have. I mean, getting Joey Gallo in left field for 2023, that would have been perfect. But like realistically, at the top end, I mean, getting Seager and Semien and Gray, and then Martin Perez being amazing, getting him back and signing 1,800 pitchers, including Jacob freaking DeGrom, for the next 5, maybe 6 years, you could not have scripted anything better. And I don't think it's reasonable to expect them to have the perfect offseason again in December of 2023, to do it 3 Decembers/end of Novembers in a row. But I don't think it's impossible, and it would take something crazy like this. Maybe they'd have to end up trading, mortgaging the farm for another, you know, top three guy. And even this rotation, I don't know if this makes them like World Series. I definitely don't think it would make them World Series favorites. This team, I think it'd be really good, and I don't know if they'd be the best team in the AL, but they'd definitely be like a 95 to 100 win team and have enough to compete. I still think you'd rather have somebody else as your number three besides Eovaldi. But hey, best case, Eovaldi was finished top six in Cy Young voting in 2021. So maybe that's not the worst thing. Maybe a healthy Gray or Kershaw ends up being your number three, and he kind of looks like himself. Or maybe Owen White and Jack Leiter are absolutely dominant by that point and think about pushing Eovaldi or Gray out of the rotation. I don't know if that's necessarily going to be the case, but hey, it's definitely a possibility. But still, I think that team would definitely be the kind of, you know, World Series contender that the Rangers haven't had since 2015, really since like 2012. And that would be, something really, really special. Plus, I'm really high on this offense, not having to add a whole lot. I think one more just massive bat like Ohtani would be great. If they could add somebody else like a Manny Machado, that'd be great. But I don't think necessarily that it's like dire need. But I think they have a sustainable 3-year window, a sustainable 5-year window. And we'll see what it ends up looking like. I might end up looking really stupid, or I'm going to save this and point back to it in 2 years if the Rangers do get Ohtani and be like, look at this genius who said it was going to happen, and just toot my own horn from then until infinity. But maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't. Who knows? I'm just excited about the Rangers' future. I mean, even like before last offseason, like there's no way I would want to do, hey, let's see what the Rangers look like in 3 years, because it was freaking dire. It was like, oh, here's some prospects that are probably not going to work out. Maybe they'll get like a bottom tier free agent and then continue to be poor and not spend and not develop and not do anything well, and everything's just going to suck. And now it's like, oh, they've already signed all these great people who are going to be here for a long, long time. Oh, look at these prospects who are promising, and I can actually hope on them again, and maybe my hope will be rewarded. Oh, look at these potential free agents the Rangers could go and spend on, because they've been doing so for the last two off seasons. That is a much, much better headspace to be in, and a nice, nice way to look at the future. But that is going to do it for this episode of Locked On Rangers. Thank you for making it your first listen every day. For your next episode, make it Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia. He is going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get your podcast. Thank y'all so much for listening and subscribing. And until next time, don't forget to enjoy baseball.